This is Real Estate Rookie episode 383. Can you invest while wrestling with college debt and much more on today's episode? My name is Ashley Kerr and I am here with Tony J. Robinson.
And welcome to the Real Estate Rookie podcast, where every week, three times a week, we bring you the inspiration, motivation, and stories you need to hear to kickstart your investing journey. And today, we'll discuss how to start your real estate development with a lack of funds and what are the exact steps for buying and launching a short-term rental. Now, if you guys have a question or want to maybe drop a horror story of your own, head over to biggerpockets.com/reply and we just might pick your story for the podcast. Now, today, we are joined by two very, very special guests. We have Tiama, who's an investor and director of product and marketplaces at Bigger Pockets. And we also have Mindy, who's the host of BP Money, also an investor and an agent.
And last but not least, we actually have a guest on today's episode to ask a question live for a Rookie Reply. And we are going to be discussing supplies for a medium-term rental. And also, what is a medium-term rental and how is it different from long-term and short-term? Let's say hello to Mindy and Tiamo, our expert panel. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I am so excited to be here.
Thanks. I'm really excited to dig into some of these questions.
Okay, well, let's get into it and welcome our first guest. Mitch, thank you so much for joining us today live on the Real Estate Rookie Reply. It's not often we get to bring someone on to ask their question and to also have an expert panel. So Mitch, please tell us a little bit about yourself and then hit us with that hard-hitting question that's just nagging at you to get answered.
Cool. Yeah, thanks, Ashley, for having me here. And so a little background. I actually work with Bigger Pockets on the agent sales side of the business, and I help agents all across the U.S. connect with investors in their market looking to buy their next investment property. I'm here just west of downtown Denver, Colorado. I'm now in Arvada, and I own a few rental properties now, and one of them, we just decided to experiment with the midterm rental strategy. And we had been looking at it for a bit of time now, and it looked like it was going to be the best fit. So we got the place furnished, and we had used a referral from one of our real estate agents on who to use as a property manager, who's a great midterm rental property manager. And couple months down the road, we got a few bookings in, and I think after the second booking, we got hit with some fees, about $350 in restocking fees, and you know, kind of blindsided us a bit. Seemed a little excessive, but we let it go. And a couple months later, after another stay, so about 82 days in total, we got hit with another $450 in restocking fees. So at this point, we just, it didn't make sense to us. A lot of things like, you know, large ticket items, 200 trash bags, 115 dish pods, all used in 82 days. And it just kind of raised a red flag. So we just had a question, you know, how would you approach this situation with the property manager and risk burning the bridges with somebody that was referred to you? Like, how would you approach that?
Yeah, great question, Mitch. And I think before we keep going, I just want to define exactly what a midterm rental is. So a lot of us are familiar with short-term rentals, Airbnbs, but a midterm is basically that kind of sweet spot between your traditional short-term rental guests and your traditional long-term rental guests. So think 30 days plus, probably less than a year, somewhere in that sweet spot. So we have some special guests on the podcast today. So I'd love to get your opinion first. So we have Mindy and Tiamo. So Mindy, I'll kick it to you first. What is your insight? What are your thoughts here for Mitch?
Okay, first of all, 82 days and they stocked 200 garbage bags. Are these people having massive, massive, massive parties? I mean, that seems excessive isn't the right word. That seems almost like they are taking advantage. So my first recommendation is to go back to your contract with your property management company, because the contract is the legally binding document that is going to rule your relationship with your property management company. What is the section addressing restocking and to make sure that they don't treat this as a short-term rental, because there is a difference between short-term rentals and medium-term rentals. I have a medium-term rental myself, and I give a kickstart to my tenants. I don't expect them to arrive with toilet paper and dishwasher pods and garbage bags. I've got a few so they don't have to rush right out the day after they get there and buy all this stuff. But I've got like 5 dishwasher pods, a few garbage bags, a couple of sponges, a couple of laundry pods. Definitely have the toilet paper stocked because, you know, that's a necessity. But afterwards, everything's on them. And I make sure that they know that in advance. This is a month-to-month rental, and you are stocking everything just like a long-term rental. So I'm wondering if your management company has experience with medium-term rentals and what that entails. So first, I'm going to send you to the contract, and then I'm going to direct you to chatting with the property management company and asking them directly, why do you think 200 garbage bags is a reasonable restock on an 82-day stay?
We do the same thing even for our short term. Like I'll, you know, we give like starter kits for supplies and things like that. We give more than enough because most of our stays are, you know, 2 to 3 days on average. But even still, every once in a while, we'll have someone that uses, you know, all 8 trash bags in a 2-night stay. I'm like, hey, you know, you got to go figure that out for yourself afterwards, right? Tiama, what about for you? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, very similarly, we were at an Airbnb this weekend and they said very specifically what they do include and what they don't include for us. So if we want to use extra supplies, that was on our own. But similar to what Mindy was saying, as far as the contract, I said very early exactly what the expectations were. And I actually looked at a lot of the housing for nurses across the nation, specifically in Colorado, to say what were their expectations. So they expected blackout curtains, they expected good linens, good towels, that kind of thing. They didn't expect me to restock all their toiletries every single month that they kept staying with us. So,
yeah. And Tiama, I think you bring up a really good point about setting expectations, because what leads to less than 5-star reviews, it's not necessarily missing something from your listing. It's just that a guest was expecting something and they didn't get it. But if the expectations are set correctly when they enter, if they know, hey, I'm going to get 8 trash bags and I've got to do the rest myself, even if they run out of the all 8, then they still know that, hey, that was the expectation coming in.
I do have something I want to add to the conversation, but before I do that, we are going to take a short break. And when I come back, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Are current interest rates making you depressed about cash flow? What if it didn't have to be that way? Rent to Retirement has 2.99% seller financing available on turnkey properties. You heard that right. That's a seller financed 2.99% interest rate where the average cash flow is over $900 per month. They also have options where you can put as low as 5% down on multiple investment properties with no PMI. Rent to Retirement is the nation's leading turnkey investment company that understands what it takes to be successful in today's dynamic real estate market. Their reputation speaks for itself with more 5-star reviews than any other company on the BiggerPockets website. Rent to Retirement offers fully turnkey properties that are newly built or renovated, leased and managed, allowing you to invest with confidence in the markets that offer the best returns. To learn more, visit renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com. Or text REI to 33777. Again, text REI to 33777. If you're in the landlord game, you know the importance of solid tenant screening. That's where Rent Ready steps in. Now, Rent Ready's got an important new feature, proof of income verification. And get this, with Plaid certified reports, you'll see everything from income summaries to total earnings by month. So say goodbye to those gut check moments and hello to confidence in renting with Rent Ready. Rent Ready is included in your pro membership at BiggerPockets. Now, if you're not a pro, they're offering a 6-month plan for just $1. You can't beat that. So visit rentready.com. That's RENTREDI.com and use the code BP Investor. That's BP, like BiggerPockets, investor, to get 6 months of Rent Ready for $1. Rookies, 2024 is the year to start protecting your rental properties with an LLC. But you don't have to do all the paperwork and filing yourself. Corporate Direct is your professional and affordable option for getting your LLC done right. They handle the state filings, draft your operating agreement, and act as your registered agent. They'll even help you comply with the Corporate Transparency Act, a new federal disclosure law affecting every real estate investor. Corporate Direct is a family business founded by attorney, author, and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton over 35 years ago. Now, his son Ted is a licensed attorney working with him. Together, they've helped thousands of real estate investors form and maintain their LLCs and protect their assets. If you're trying to build a real estate portfolio, do not skip the LLC. Head over to corporatedirect.com/biggerpockets to schedule a free 15-minute consultation with an incorporating specialist. Mention Real Estate Rookie and get a $100 discount on your formation. That's corporatedirect.com/biggerpockets. All right, we are back from our break and we're hearing Mitch's story about some issues with his property manager. And I've given some advice, Mindy Tiamo. But now Ashley says she wants to play a little devil's advocate. So what do you got to say, Ash?
Okay, Tony, I'm actually going to play devil's advocate and I'm going to kind of be on the positive side for the property management company. And I'm going to try to look at maybe one reason why they were doing this as a positive. So when I heard the 115 dishwasher packs, the 24 cleaning sponges and the garbage bags, all I thought of was buying in bulk can reduce costs. So in my mind, I am thinking this property management company went out and said, we're going to get enough supplies for a year for this property. So that way we only have to send someone there once. We're buying in bulk. So it's going to be cheaper than having to restock every once in a while buying, you know, just 10 packs of garbage bags or however much you want for each person. So, and I look at my own Airbnbs where we have a closet where we stock up big time and do a bulk order and fill it up. So Mitch, my question to you would be, do you think that maybe this was a reason that they were doing that to kind of buy in bulk and to save you money, but it backfired because everybody had access to those items at all times, where my cleaners, they ration share, you know, they'll give each person so many things of toilet paper out of that closet and then it's locked up. So I'm curious to hear, like, could that be one of the reasonings and they weren't actually trying to, you know, be bad property management or to kind of screw you over in a sense or overcharge you?
It's a good point, Ash, right? And, but I still think even if that was the case, it almost does speak to maybe a little bit of lack of efficiency on the property manager side.
Of like giving the free for all.
Of giving the free for all, yes. Right? Yeah. So there's probably still some feedback there that needs to be shared. Yeah. Mindy, what are your thoughts on that?
My thought is I absolutely went that route and said, oh, they bought in bulk. And I've stayed in a lot of Airbnbs and there is always that closet. It's not always locked. And I am one to open every single door. I'm not one to take every single garbage bag because I'm usually traveling. And plus, I'm not a big stealer. But I always open every door and I see that there's these giant Costco sized bags of everything. So I absolutely think that that's what they did. But why did they do it twice? And if they did it the first time and left the door open and everything got taken by the first guest, then that should kind of be on them to restock on their own dime, because there's no way that the first guest used 115 laundry pods or whatever it was. So, but again, I want to go back and direct Mitch to first the property management contract. And then if there's anything missing in the property management contract, call up the property management company and get an addendum to the contract that spells out specifically the things that are missing. Who is going to restock? How much is going to get restocked at a time? How frequently is it going to be restocked? You don't need to go and buy a big $20 thing of Costco toilet paper every week. But if it's, I mean, what is that going to last? Like 3 months, 4 months, then every quarter you expect to have this expense. But, you know, that's what you're expecting. Just like you're setting expectations for the guest, the property management company or Mitch needs to set expectations with each other so that you're not blindsided like this. And if the property management company simply doesn't understand medium-term rentals, then maybe this isn't the right property management company.
So Mitch, a lot of insights there, a lot of perspectives. Hearing all that, what do you feel is maybe the best path forward for you?
Yeah, thanks so much. I love all of these answers here. And it's really helped me put together a plan. And, you know, I can't say it enough. It sounds like the crystal clear communication is just key. But just going back and approaching it with the positive intent and maybe a place of we're looking to learn and taking a little ownership. But I think really getting back and setting the expectation there, getting it in writing and agreeing on it together, like what our goals are, are they realistic? Maybe we are missing something at the property. Maybe they didn't realize there was a locking storage closet. And it sounds like maybe they did have it out and the guests took advantage of it. But, you know, talking about what we were going to, how we're going to communicate with each other in the future. Cause yeah, like Mindy mentioned, definitely a red flag that the restock was done and there was really no communication on it. So yeah, I love these answers. And I think getting back to the contract, looking deep into it, and then approaching the property manager with the positive intent and really defining what that relation looks like moving forward.
Yeah, I love that mention. And I hope you're able to find a good solution with this property manager. I have one funny story on like an owner's closet that I want to share with you guys. One of the first Airbnbs that we bought, there was like an issue with the owner's closet door lock. So it was reversed. So basically it was always set to be unlocked, right? So like we couldn't get it to lock itself. And whenever you put in the owner's code, it would only unlock it. So the door was just like always unlocked. So we took it live with it being open. Luckily we didn't have any guests that like rummaged through it, but you know, just triple check before you take your listing live that your owner's closet actually locks. All right. This next question is from Jared. Jared says, "What's up, Ashley and Tony? I just graduated from college with a degree in engineering. I've been listening to your podcast every day on my way to and from work, sometimes even at the gym. I want to get into real estate investing, but I'm currently paying $2,000 a month in student loans and will not be able to receive a bank loan. I'm so young, so my goal is to house hack, but I don't see a way to accomplish this at the moment. Do you think I should wait a few years to pay down my loans and get my DTI more manageable? Please help." All right. So since we got a few voices on the podcast, we're going to do this like rapid fire. So you guys got 60 seconds top. I'm going to have the producers, cue the Grammy music if you guys start going too long. So Ash, let's go with you first. What do you got for Jared here?
Okay. So the first thing I'm thinking about, the first thing I think of is myself personally. When I started investing, I had farm equipment debt. I had student loan debt. And what I did was I simultaneously invested and I used any cash flow that I had to pay off all of my loans. Okay. So that worked for me. In this case, what I would do, the first step would be to, if you can actually get approved for a loan, if you have money for a down payment to, and you can get approved for a loan, even with your high student loans, then I would definitely recommend going and house hacking, because you are going to, hopefully, if you get the right deal, decrease your living expenses and you can use that extra money you've saved to rapidly pay down your student loans.
Great job. Tiamo, you're up next. What do you got?
Yeah, I would say something pretty similar. It sounds like $2,000 a month, probably a bit too much for you to actually qualify for the DTI, but there's a lot of programs out there that you can get you can actually have quite a high debt, and also you could have quite a small amount of loan payment or loan down payment to put down. So I'd recommend that. If not, think about for the next year, live as cheaply as humanly possible. Could you be house sitting for people? Could you be dog walking their dogs and sitting for them? So I'd recommend live as cheaply as possible, because I think house hacking is your next best option to get that started. I would not do any other investing beforehand. It's a little bit too risky for having $2,000 a month of debt.
All right, Mindy, what do you got for Jared?
Well, first, I have a bit of a self-promotional plug. I host the Bigger Pockets Money podcast, where we talk about money questions and money problems all the time. So, Jared, you need to be listening to me in addition to Tony and Ashley and their awesome show. Now, I'm going to plug specifically episode Bigger Pockets Money 35, because Craig Curlup came in and shared his story, which is almost identical to yours. He had, and it's been a minute since we recorded with him, but it had something like $80,000 in student loan debt. And instead of paying that off, he bought a house hack, lived in it, rented one unit and lived in the other while Airbnb-ing that other unit, and threw all that money, like Ashley said, into his debt. So he was able to eventually pay off his student loans by his investments. But also, house hacking isn't a one-way street. House hackers need tenants too. So you can reduce your housing expense by being, a house hackee? A house hack tenant? Also, there are plenty of cities in this nation where the Airbnb rules state that you can only Airbnb your primary residence. And there's a lot of people who own duplexes who would love to Airbnb half of it, but can't because they don't live there. So I would look for that sort of situation where you can either get a break on your rent or even a portion of the short-term rent that the landlord is collecting simply because you're helping manage their property. Then, bonus, you get short-term rental experience at somebody else's short-term rental. So, sorry, I know that wasn't 60 minutes. Go ahead and play the music.
No, it definitely wasn't 60 minutes. You were great. You were under 60 minutes.
Yes, I came out in 60 minutes.
Mindy, one thing I do want to add, though, is that you forgot to mention with Craig is he also slept on the couch that he rented out all the bedrooms, too, in his unit. So that's to take it even to the extreme.
Yeah, he was hardcore with his house hack. And you don't have to be that hardcore, but you could. One last thing, is the $2,000 a month your minimum payment, or are you throwing extra money at it to pay it off quicker? Maybe you pull back if that's the case and you start saving some of that money for your down payment.
Yeah, Mindy, you read my mind. That was my next question as well, because two grand does feel a little bit high. So yeah, to your point, can you pull that back to just pay the minimums to reallocate those resources somewhere else? If you guys are looking for a good episode on like the house hacking and, you know, kind of using creative financing almost, episode 261, we had Nancy Rodriguez. She was from, you know, Love is Blind, one of the seasons, right? But she used a loan from a company called NACA, N-A-C-A, the Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America. And guys, NACA has, I think, the best loan product that I've ever seen for primary residences. It's 0% down. There are zero closing costs. And their interest rates are usually about a point lower than prevailing interest rates. And you can use it for multifamily up to 4 units. So, Jared, if you can go out and get approved for this NACA loan, now you've got a loan where you don't have to worry about your down payment, right? You got literally almost no closing costs. I think Nancy got a refund at closing because she got like a credit from the seller. So if you can check episode 261 with Nancy, look up the NACA loan. It's a great resource, Jared, to help you start house hacking the way that Mindy, Tiamo, and Ashley all talked about.
We are going to move on to our next question. But before we do, we're going to take a short break and we're going to be back with somebody who actually built their first property with new construction. And now they want to be a developer.
Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes to help you see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, even the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to help get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
Rookies, I'm telling you right now, it's not every day you find a game changer like Rent Ready. They're not stopping with just tenant screening. Nope, they've now rolled out proof of income verification. So let Rent Ready handle the heavy lifting with automatic checks on financial stability and earnings. Plus, with Plaid certified reports, you'll have all the info you need right at your fingertips. Rent Ready is included in your pro membership at Bigger Pockets, but if you're not a pro, they're offering the 6-month plan for only $1. How great of a deal is that? So visit rentready.com. That's RENTREDI.com and use the code BP Investor. That's BP like Bigger Pockets Investor to get 6 months of Rent Ready for only $1.
You're trying to close on your next rental, so why is your insurance company dragging its feet? With long lead times and never-ending paper forms, it's no wonder it takes forever to finally get a policy. Modern investors deserve better. They deserve Steadily.com. At Steadily.com, you'll get fast, affordable landlord insurance available online 24/7 in just a few clicks. You can even get next-day coverage, which takes just minutes, by the way, to obtain. And you can do it all from your phone. Steadily was founded by landlords who created insurance products tailored to the unique needs of this industry. It's their sole focus, and that's why landlords nationwide consistently rate them 4.8 out of 5 stars. So whether you've got a single family, short-term, or multifamily portfolio, Steadily.com can secure the best coverage at the best price to protect your properties. Discover how Steadily can save you both time and money on your rental property insurance. Visit Steadily.com for a commitment-free quote tailored to your needs today.
Remember when you had to pay to get a lead's phone number? It was like the dark ages. Until Deal Machine made skip tracing a thing of the past. Now, with your Deal Machine plan, you'll get unlimited access to phone numbers and contact information for no extra cost. That's right. Get high-quality, reliable information trusted by leading financial institutions, all fully compliant with the federal Do Not Call list. Explore over 150 data points, including age, gender, marital status, occupation, and a ton more. Trust me, this is the data you need for off-market deals. With new filters, people flags, and color-coded phone numbers, lead management just got a ton easier. Ready to step up your investing game? Sign up for a Deal Machine plan today and gain immediate access to this unlimited treasure trove of contact information and phone numbers. Just head to dealmachine.com/BP. Transform your lead generation and deal-making strategies with Deal Machine. Sign up today and start exploring the unlimited possibilities at dealmachine.com/BP.
Okay, thank you so much for coming back with us for our next question with April. So April said, I just bought my first home, a new construction, in September. My plan is to rent it out after a year eventually. However, my goal is real estate development. Despite having a good credit score, I currently lack the funds needed for this venture. I'm considering using seller financing for the land, but the challenge is that even with this arrangement, I still don't have sufficient funds for both the new construction and using the land as collateral. I'm seeking advice on whether to pursue this path or if you have an alternative suggestion to help me achieve my goal of becoming a six-figure developer. Any guidance would be greatly appreciated. So, Tiamo, I'm going to kick this one to you first, since you do have some experience in commercial development.
Yeah, so a little bit less of the residential. It sounds like this question might be tied a little bit more residential, but I used to do commercial development in downtown Denver. So think about some of the best breweries you've been to, think about some of the co-working spaces, self-storage, that kind of development. And so the one thing I'd say is definitely talk to your city, go to the city, figure out some of the opportunity zones, thinking about residential. Make sure that you know what you can and can't build in certain areas, because even by going to some of those events within the city, downtown Denver has a Downtown Denver partnership. You can actually learn quite a bit from those organizations to make connections with some of those developers that are around you. So city, lots of requirements, lots of rules, lots of regulations. You should know them. You should get really familiar and very comfortable with them. But I think that would apply also to residential.
Okay. And Tony, what are your thoughts? Because I know you've looked into doing some kind of development when you were looking at that property in West Virginia. So what would be your advice about building from the ground up?
Yeah, April, I think if this is your goal, you know, super commendable. Don't feel like it's out of reach just because you don't necessarily have the capital. The funds are just one piece of the puzzle, right? So I think if you can find a killer deal, right, and you can kind of map out that vision, then the next step is just finding a capital partner who can kind of bridge that gap for you. Because if you find a good enough deal, I would assume there's a lot of people out there who have money sitting in their savings account right now that's gotten eaten up by inflation over the last 12 to 18 months, who would be happy to put this into real estate, which is appreciated over the last 12 to 18 months pretty substantially. So find that capital partner, you know, so maybe just start small, do some infill development. I can't remember which episode it was, but if you look up Donovan Adesero, we interviewed him on the Rookie Podcast, and he was doing infill new construction, like townhomes in Texas. So go back and listen to that episode, but he financed all of that new construction using partnerships. So don't feel that just because you don't have the funds, April, that you can't make this happen.
And Mindy, what would be your advice for April?
Okay, my advice is to connect with a developer. I love Tiamo's suggestion to learn the rules and regulations of whatever city you're looking to start developing in, but connect with a developer and ask them if you can start learning from them. But here's the caveat. Don't just say, hey, would you teach me everything you know? Make a list of the skills that you have, not real estate skills necessarily, but like any skill that you have. Make a list of those and offer to do things for the developer in exchange for learning from them. Connecting with a developer and just asking them, hey, can I learn everything, is a great way to get shot down when you don't have anything to offer. Some developers are, this is going to sound ageist, but I'm old too, so I'm going to say it anyway. Some developers are older and not very good with social media or technology. And if you can help them in areas that they have pain points and relieve their pain points, they might be more than excited to help you out, you know, just sharing their knowledge. And how do you meet developers? Go to meetups. Tiambo's suggestion for the neighborhood development area, the Bigger Pockets forums, put it out there that you're looking to meet developers, and they, you will be surprised at who is all of a sudden, oh, I know a developer. I'd love to introduce you. It's Bob. He's right over here. Let's go talk to him. But just putting it out there and being friendly and being open to connections is huge.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, Mindy. And just asking the people around you, it might surprise you who your sister, your brother, or your parents know. Like, my dad has the most random associations with people. And, you know, it's always great to make those connections. So great advice. Well, thank you very much, panel. And we're going to move on to our next question. And this question is from Kai Menser. As a rookie, I'm becoming overwhelmed by the best process and sequence of events that need to take place from interest in buying a short-term rental in the first booking. What is your recommended sequence of events? So is it remodeling, acquire an accountant, cost segregation study? When does material participation start? When do I start checking costs? If and when do you start an LLC? When do you insure it, etc.? So my strategy is basically, where do I want a vacation or where do I want to live when selecting a short-term rental? So today we're going to turn it over to the experts that actually use data and analytics to choose a short-term rental destination. So Tony, let's start with you.
So Kai, first thing I'd say is, like, you know, you're thinking about step 30 when you should really just be thinking about step one. And I think that's an issue we see from a lot of rookie investors, is they start, like, we get people who start asking about, like, well, I'm so worried about, how am I going to buy my third property? And I ask, well, how many properties do you have today? They're like, zero. Well, why are you worried about property three when you should be focused on property one? So I think the very first thing, Kai, you should be doing is choosing your market. Right. That's the very first thing you should be doing, because I see a lot of rookies who, you know, they're scattershot all across the country. They're analyzing a deal here, doing one over there, doing one up there. So choose your market first. And that really comes down to knowing what your purchasing power is. So how much capital do you have available to deploy? How much loan, like what loan amount can you actually get approved for? You put those two things together, you get your purchasing power. And then think about what your specific motivations are for investing in real estate. Is it cash flow? Is it the tax benefits? Is it appreciation? Is it you just want to subsidize the cost of your vacation homes? Because each one of those four motivations will dictate a slightly different market selection strategy. So the very first thing you need to do, and I can go on and on, but the very, very first thing you need to do, Kai, is choose your market and make sure that the market supports your ultimate investment goals.
Yeah, tying off of that, I would say choose your market and educate yourself on that market. And then, shameless plug, build your team on biggerpockets.com. And if you want to go in talking to a lender or an agent, knowing what you know. So there's a bunch of research that you can do. You can inform yourself. Don't just call an agent, call a lender and say, you tell me. Tell me all the things I don't know. Go in educated. Once you pick your market, once you've done some of your research, they're going to guide you. They're going to help you and support you. But you want to make sure you do a little bit of research and then find exactly what Tony said. Know what your purchasing power is going to be for this property, but find an agent, find a lender, and get started. Because why are we talking about a cost segregation? Maybe short-term rental isn't for you. Maybe long-term rental isn't for you. Maybe we don't want to do a cost seg at all. Maybe there's other things that we want to be doing, but let's start with educating yourself about the market and what that might, that, you know, maybe a short-term rental in that market's not going to work for you. So start there and then definitely build your team from that.
I like what both Tony and Tiamo had to say. This sounds like a classic case of analysis paralysis. He's got a lot of the lingo down. And like Tony said, you're on step 30. Let's go back to step one. You're interested in buying a short-term rental. Why? Why do you want a short-term rental? And where do you want it? Like Tony said, what are the rules there? Because I want a short-term rental in downtown Denver. Well, the rules say you can't have one there unless it's your primary residence. So make sure you know the rules of the location that you're looking at, and then start from there. Start looking. Like Tiamo said, get an agent and start getting listings and start looking. Know what a good deal looks like in the market that you have chosen, because you're not going to be able to pounce on a great deal or a good deal or even a mediocre deal if you have no idea what's going on in that market. I'm a huge advocate for learning the market that you're interested in. And maybe there's two. You're not sure if you want to do it in San Diego or in Fort Lauderdale. Great. Start getting both of those, but don't start getting listings in 100 different markets and trying to juggle all of this stuff. I think that this questioner is trying to get ahead of himself. And really, you need to go back to the very basics. Where are you going to buy? What are the rules there? How much can you afford? Like you guys said.
Mindy, Tiamo, super grateful that both of you joined us today. So before we let you go, we got to get one last piece of wisdom. Mindy, we'll start with you. So give us one piece of parting advice for the rookie audience.
Oh, for our rookie audience, for your rookie audience, I want to say education is imperative. You need to educate yourself, which you're doing by listening to the Rookie Channel, but also you need to know your market. I am such a huge proponent of learning what a good deal looks like in your market so that you can be ready to pounce as soon as it pops up online. I'm a huge proponent of the MLS and finding deals online there. So get an agent, start getting listings, and start learning what a great deal looks like in your market so you are ready to act as soon as you can.
Love that. Tiamo, how about for you? What do you got for us?
I would highly recommend going to biggerpockets.com, but I would recommend for talking about Kai specifically, I would say go to /smarter, S-M-A-R-T-E-R, and that is a step-by-step, starting with your strategy, your market, your acquisition. If you're renting or rehabbing, tracking it all the way to exit. And then how do you do it again and again? So I would start at Smarter. It will connect you to the calculators and the forums to learn and educate yourself and all the different finders that we have to connect you with various folks. So it's a step-by-step guide wherever you are. Maybe you're past strategy, maybe you're past the market phase. It's going to guide you in those other additional advanced steps as well. So I'd highly recommend going to biggerpockets.com/smarter.
Thank you so much, Mindy and Tiamo, for joining us today. And also a big thanks to Mitch to coming on and asking his question. It's not always easy to be vulnerable that your investment is not going the way that you had actually planned. So we really appreciate Mitch taking the time to come here and share what he had going on. And hopefully some rookies can learn from his experience and what to do if they come across that. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for this week's Rookie Reply. And we will see you next time.
Getting started in real estate can be daunting. There's so much to know, obstacles to overcome, lessons to learn, and risks to avoid. It can all be so overwhelming. If you're feeling motivated to invest but too overwhelmed to take action, here's some advice. Take it one step at a time. And here's some good news for you. The Rookie Bootcamp is starting on May 20th, and Tyler and Ashley will be guiding you through each and every step until you're the proud, confident owner of your first investment property. Through 8 action-packed weeks, they'll guide you step-by-step through those first questions, decisions, and obstacles that every beginner investor must overcome. So if you're serious about becoming an investor this year, head to biggerpockets.com/step and join us in the Rookie Bootcamp. See you there.
The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all host and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.